Welcome to Hers,
His,
and Ours,
part of the Scheiss Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to a Hers, His, and Ours special event as we take on the Netflix reality competition show Battle Camp one episode at a time.
Welcome to Battle Camp.
Always with the breathing.
I thought I got it before you started recording.
Nope. Battle Camp, episode 3. We watched it last night.
Yes.
We're going to watch episode 4, but not before we come in here and do what we got to do. So, end of episode 2 was the Irina drama, which... The wheel wasn't so much drama because she ended up picking up 13 of the 18 slots on the wheel.
No, she was just drama and fake crying the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was some real crying, but there was also some fake crying.
There was no real crying. Gabby was real crying.
Yes.
Irina was not real crying at any moment. That's why she kept covering her face.
You're harsh. I still felt bad for her.
I'm telling the truth.
Maybe. But I still felt bad.
I didn't. I think she did it to herself, unfortunately.
I mean, she did because of the reasons that we spelled out in the last episode. Like her...
And they were smart.
They were. And it was probably beneficial to get rid of her in the long term. Maybe not, but we'll see. It didn't help them in episode 2 to not have her. They still finish last.
True, but I don't think... I think that was a different kind of competition where she probably would have even made that worse. You know what I mean?
Potentially.
Like, they still could have been... They still may not have finished last necessarily, but I think from a morale standpoint, like, they would have gone down a little bit harder.
Maybe. It was like a randomized, I think, kind of challenge where I feel like no team had a particular advantage there. It was just
agreed
who's gonna be acting the best. But they did lose again, so they ended up on the wheel again. And you know, early in that episode, Tony's talking to them about Irina, and as much as I don't like to agree with Tony, he's right in that situation, and that, you know, they had to do what they had to do, and it's just going to get harder to eliminate people from here on out, so, like, get used to ripping the Band-Aid off and being a little cutthroat, you know, early on.
Yeah, and I think for her, like, if she had stuck around for that competition... When she's already in the, like, I don't trust myself and I can't, like, she would have probably just thrown everything off even more. And they probably wouldn't have even had a little bit of a chance, where with the new team member, everyone had a fair chance. And I think that it wouldn't have been a fair chance if they had kept her.
You think Bree is going to be good or bad for this team overall?
I think bad because of Louie.
They were on Too Hot to Handle. Was that the show?
Yeah, they weren't on the same season, but they know each other from that show.
But they've clearly been friends, canoodling.
Yeah, they've been friends with benefits or something previously, or had some kind of situationship. Mm-hmm. Look at me, like, using lingo again.
Yeah.
I think she's good as a competitor, but I think it's. It is. I understand Trey and Gabby's concern because they're so intertwined. Louis is definitely not got his head in the game. He's very distracted.
He's going to get eliminated soon.
He probably will.
He got voted for a few times in this past episode. They were starting to gun for him, I think, was part of the... We left off before the vote happened because they don't spin the wheel on this episode. But Polly on the red team is leading the campaign against Louie. Tony doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Because so... Louis's his boy. So he tells Louis, like, watch out. So then there's like an anti-Louis movement, an anti-Polly movement. But he could. He's already on the wheel because they lost. So he might go home this early. But it's interesting to see that the two additions that happened to the team were people that had pre-established relationships with the cast that was there on day one. So when Polly comes in, like, her and Gio are lockstep, and he prioritizes her over all of the people on his team. And then now you kind of run into a similar situation, but they're both on the yellow team. So it's like, okay, well, at least they're on the same team, but I feel like they're just going to be distracted too easily. Like, Trey and Gabby are trying to win. Those two are fucking in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see, because I remember I mentioned during this episode, like, what happened to Georgia and Lorenzo, you know, like, gunning for Tony, because they know he's a threat, and he's turning on his own team members every week still so far. Mm-hmm. And Georgia's finally making that step, but I do worry if there's not enough people voting for Tony, it is going to expose her, and then he'll come after her if he doesn't get eliminated on this next episode. But I do think there's enough people probably going for Tony because of the Polly campaign. She's got to retaliate and try and push for Tony because he's trying to gun for her.
If she finds out, yeah. But I think right now she is not convinced that Tony is going to vote for her, which he doesn't. We see his vote, and he's voted for Trey. So he's kind of thrown in like an empty vote. Right, because that puts Trey on the wheel twice because Yellow lost the challenge.
He's the independent vote.
Right. At the beginning of the episode, I was like, oh, maybe Blue needs to reload like the other two teams have. But then in hindsight, Blue is actually the strongest team right now because they haven't reloaded and they've kept their whole team and they're well balanced.
Yeah, and it's interesting because was it Avery that was like, I feel like we just keep making the other team stronger because they're getting new players. But in hindsight, you know, they're not seeing it from the outside looking in, obviously. I don't think that they are making the other team stronger because I think having to replace the players week to week or whatever, however timeline this is working, actually does make them a little bit weaker because then they have to rebuild another new connection and rebuild another new connection while the blue team is solid and just keeps getting better or stronger and they're not having to bring in like new blood.
Yeah. It's like, look, I've played sports for a long time. I've been out of my team sports for like a couple years now. But up until, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, beginning of the pandemic, right? That was kind of the last year. But, you know, I played organized basketball for a long time. And it would be like playing pickup basketball every week. And you're playing with like a new teammate and you have to learn how that teammate plays. And if that teammate is a good athlete, you may be able to just rely on them dominating. Or if they're a good basketball player, you can rely on their skill. But if it's a new person and you still have to just like learn how they play, that still could mess up your rhythm as
it's
an
like
existing
resetting.
Team. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is value to consistency. And it just seems like the blue team actually really, like we said last week or on the last episode, that they all kind of like each other in what seems like a legitimate way. Red, I don't think so. Yellow, I think they do like each other, but are also like willing to cut the head off the snake if it means helping themselves. And then blue, I don't know. Aside from Gio, who's now has allegiance to Polly, they all seem like whatever they decide, they're all going to vote in the same direction. They're just going to move lockstep and, you know, strengthen numbers. So there is something to be said for that. And then they win the challenge. So they get first again.
I also think that's kind of smart, though, for them to do, because then the other teams don't have like a target to aim at on the blue team to take them, like to tear them apart. They would have to take them all down or not take any of them down. You know what I mean? Where if it was like, oh, Avery's gunning for Tony, but everyone else isn't, then it would be like, we got to go for Avery, right?
Yeah.
So keeping it consistent between all of them and voting together and kind of keeping it as one profile is also kind of like a defense mechanism.
Yeah. it's a weird analogy, but there's a show that I used to watch on YouTube, and it was called Smarter Every Day. Excuse me. Sorry about that. And one of the examples was about how, like, a pack of caterpillars moves faster as a pod than it does individually. And it's so, like, it kind of forms like a bundle of caterpillars, and they all just, like, sort of crawl over the top of each other. Like, if you think of how tank treads work, sort of like that, where the one in the back, like, climbs over to the front, and then you sort of do vice versa. And so, even though theoretically, like, the one going by itself covers more distance in the individual step, moving as a pack, one unit at a time, actually gets them to the finish line faster. So it's herd mentality a little bit. It's like, what's the saying? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so I think Blue understands that being together is the most valuable thing in the competition. It's a team competition for a reason. And I love team sports because of the intricacies of having to build a good team and what it takes. And that's why I like the same five or six baseball teams compete at the end of the season for the championship. In football, there's really like five or six teams that are even capable of winning a Super Bowl every season. Basketball, same thing. There's a reason that in these leagues of 30 something, there's not that much change at the top. And it isn't just about the guys on the court.
True.
So it comes down to, like, strategy, leadership, investment, a lot of things. It starts in the front office. So in this, you don't really have a front office. So everybody on each individual team has to figure out, like, who they listen to, who's the leader. So I think yellow, they kind of understand that, like, Trey is probably the leader. Red, Tony's the leader, but only by force, basically. If it came down to strategy or by, like, leadership skills, it'd probably be Georgia.
Yeah, it's out of fear.
Yeah, Tony's ego is so big that he can't not be the leader. And then Blue, I think Gio's got a big ego, but I think they know that Avery is the person that they listen to. And I think QT also is a very good fit for that team. So the two guys on that team listen to the women, and they do well. So
imagine that.
Imagine that. And they haven't had anybody eliminated yet. And I hope they don't. I want to see them compete with that team for as long as possible. But because they won, they had to punish some of the other members of the team. So they targeted Polly. They targeted Bree, who's the new girl on yellow. And then they also targeted Gabby. And so the three of them compete to see who's automatically going on the wheel. And it was a weird thing where they put on pedometers. So it was all about step count. But then they didn't just, like, bring in treadmills. You know, they let them run around the camp.
But I think that was kind of smarter to do, because then it was like, this is a strategy thing you have to think about.
It's not an exactly even playing field, but we're watching it and there's, like, a lot of uphill. And I'm like, why is she running uphill? No wonder she's tired. Like, she's trail running when Polly's out there just, like, you know, mini stepping and dancing along the bridge. And it's like, yeah, go find the flattest area and just run back and forth in a circle for an hour. Don't ever run uphill, right?
Yeah, but she still won.
She did, but she exhausted herself. That just means she had, like, a big lead, right? But we were doing the math, and I think she won with, like, 9,000 steps. Polly was in second with, like, 7,000 something.
Yeah, it was close to 8,000, I think.
And so when we walk and we do, like, our mile-long walk, it's in the neighborhood of 2,500 steps. So 3 miles in about an hour, 20 minutes a mile, like, at a leisurely pace. So I felt like the pedometer maybe didn't catch a lot of the micro steps, where if you were running on a treadmill, say, like, it would catch all the individual steps and it would be the most even playing field. But yeah, it brought into account, like, how are you going to run? Where are you going to run? When are you going to spend your energy? And Gabby, being an athlete and a competitor, was just, like, sprinting from the beginning, and it helped. You know, she ended up building those extra steps, but almost cost her, because she was burning out there at the end.
I know, sad.
Yeah, so she worked hard. She kept her name off the board an additional time, so she's only on it once from the team loss. And then Polly got added for the loss, and Bree got added a second time for the team loss. So the wheel going in would be then Trey, Gabby, Bree, Louie, Polly, Brie again. Those are the six. And then the other 12 votes are going to come in still. And so at the end of the episode, we didn't get to the wheel and we're trying to figure out like who the votes are going to. And so I think because Tony tells Louis that Polly's gunning for him, that Louis gets Trey and Brie on board and votes for Polly.
And then do we see Gabby's vote?
She voted for Tony.
She did vote for Tony. That's what I thought.
Because she's finally, which is weird because she's like manipulating him and his horniness towards her.
But she knows she has to keep him in her pocket or else he's going to come after her.
Yeah, but it seems like he's maybe, at least for her specifically, is a better chess piece for her to have in play than to eliminate this early. Because I don't think he would turn on her like right now to vote her out kind of thing. He wants her there to flirt with.
Yeah, but you got to think she's probably not comfortable with the flirting, especially since she has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So like keeping him around just for that is probably torturous for her because he's also not attractive. And he's also slimy about it.
Yeah.
And like very pushy, which is
he tries to fix his hair so much. Like every episode he's in the mirror shirtless fixing his hair.
Yeah, he's just like very predatory about it.
Yeah, he's gross. So I got I nailed the wheel the first time. The second time, like, okay, I know Irina's going to go home. Like, the odds are just too heavily stacked in her favor. It would be a miracle if one of the other ones happened. But for this one, we haven't seen the wheel, so I'm trying to predict who...
We haven't seen all the votes yet, either.
I'm trying to predict who all the votes are. So, right now, I have Polly getting on the board three more times with Louis, Trey, and Brie. Because Trey has said that Louis is like his best friend at the camp, so he's going to vote to protect him. But then I think Tony is going to pick up all the rest of the straggler votes this week because Georgia has established that she's going to vote for Tony.
So Lorenzo should too.
Yes, exactly. Gabby, Lorenzo. So those would be the...
I would love to see Tony
unless Lorenzo said he was going to vote for Louis. I didn't track everybody, but... I sort of like wrote down my prediction. So for Tony, I had Georgia, Shuby, Gabby, Avery, Gio, and QT. So the whole blue team plus Georgia and Gabby. So that'd be six. Polly and Lorenzo would vote for Louis because they think he's a legitimate threat. I think that's what happened is that she tried to convince him to vote for Louis. Lorenzo's like, you're right. He's a threat. But Georgia said no. And was like, I'm breaking from that. I have to put Tony on the board. So I think Lorenzo is voting for Louis. And then Tony voted for Trey. So Trey would be on there twice. Gabby would be on there once. Brie twice because of the loss in the competition. Polly would be on four times. Louis would be on three times. And then that's it, right? One, two.
I kind of would like to see an episode where the wheel lands on someone's name that is not majority of the wheel.
Yeah, that'd be fun, but
I know it's not likely or probable in the statistics and whatever.
It'll happen, but
it would be nice to kind of see because then it would be a twist. It wouldn't be as predictable.
Yeah, and I think that will happen. Eventually. So then Tony would get the other six votes. So Tony's going to be the one, I think, whose name is on the wheel the most this week. Do you see that not being the case?
No, I think okay. I agree with that. I am curious, though, as it gets closer to the end, are they always going to make sure there's always 12 people? Or is it ever going to get down to like the winner is going to be decided between like three people? So how do they do the wheel?
We'll see. But you talked about the wheel and odds and stuff like that. So Tony's going to be the most represented. He's going to have a 33% chance to go.
Watch, he's not going to go.
It's going to be this one.
Oh, this is not the one I'm talking about.
It'll be Polly or Louis, because Louis's on there three times. Polly's on there four times. At least if my projected count is correct.
This is not the episode that I want to see that happen on.
Well, let's go find out.
All right, let's go.
All right, take care, everybody.
Press pause. Thanks for listening to Hers, His, and Ours. We'd love for you to continue on this journey with us. The easiest way to do that is to like and subscribe to the show on the podcast platform of your choice. Follow our socials at Hers, His, Ours, spelled like time, on Instagram and X. To keep tabs on this show and others in the Scheist Podcast Network, follow at Scheist Podnet on Instagram, Blue Sky, and X.